Hey, what's up, guys? This is Tavon Best, aka Diesel Club Jersey, back here with another podcast from the Knicks XNO podcast. Welcome, guys, to another show. So, this episode, I'm not going to be talking any games whatsoever. I'm just going to be talking straight trade rumors, everything that's going on with the Knicks so far as AD situation goes, because that's a new story that just came out. Everything that has to relate to the New York Knicks, front office, and everything that is in the minds of the GMs and the minds of every fan that's been going on in the fan base right now, going down from the Cannon situation, from the vets basically getting traded, to the realistic goals of the season, and pretty much this whole AD situation. So we're going to get started. I just want to keep in mind that all the game recaps and pretty much the breakdowns of X and O's, I'm going to do the Heat game and the Hornets game tomorrow as soon as I come home. I'm recording this right now at Monday late night from the Charlotte game that just finished. Mind you, I watched it. The game was close until the fourth quarter, and pretty much they broke down in the last 3 minutes. As soon as Kadeem Allen came out, as soon as, you know, the supposed call G League team basically came out after they played and played fantastic first half and third quarter, the fourth quarter, when the actual NBA lineup came in with Hardaway and a few other players, they didn't perform really well, especially during defense. As far as that goes, Hardaway did pretty much what he needs to do, basically score, basically put the ball in the basket in that first half. I didn't really get to see as much of the second half, but I did catch a glimpse as I was walking back to my room of the little breakdown that happened. So I'm going to get more into it as tomorrow goes, since it's an off day, and I'm pretty much going to break down and recap and watch the whole game from its entirety and just basically break down every play. So keep bear in mind with that. So let's begin on the New York Knicks front office situation, and this is going to be a huge show, so I want you guys to listen in and pay close attention. Enes Kanter is pretty much has asked for a trade or buyout, so I'm just going to go now to the screen, and I'm referencing a lot of people from Twitter, and I mean a lot of people. I want to give a big shout out to Knicks Film School and Jonathan Marcy. Now, I didn't ask them for their permission, but I use them as a reference roughly because they do everything based on Knicks, and I want you guys to tune them out and basically listen to them and basically look at that podcast, go on their website, donate to their charity, whatever it is that you want, whatever it is that's Knicks, and you want to go straight into Knicks fandom and straight into Knicks basically talk, this is the perfect Twitter account for you, right here, the Knicks Film School. So regardless or not, Enes Kanter from the Knicks Film School, reported by Steinline, obviously, or Mark Stein from his Twitter. Now, I could have got it from officially from him, but again, this is still a good enough source, I feel. I followed him, by the way, so don't even worry about it. Don't even trip. Enes Kanter is expected to seek a contract buyout for the Knicks to become a free agent if the deadline passes without a trade to a new team. So, Kanter wants to get out. Wants to get out because of due to the playing, lack of playing time and pretty much the DMPs that he's been receiving. Now, many wonder, or many Knicks fans wonder, why is Kanter getting DMPs? Well, this it shows a lot into certain areas. So now you're wondering, why am I showing the plus minuses? Yes, plus minuses doesn't really, it tells the game, but it doesn't really tell the whole game. Again, this is just the numbers. But this is the difference when he's on the team for this, basically his whole career. Now, I give him a pass on pretty much his rookie year. I give him a pass on that. I don't care. That's cool. Second year, only year that he gave up plus in plus 23. Look at the rest of his years, fam. Negative 15, negative 5, negative 15, negative 15 and 15-16 with the OKC Thunder. a negative 3 with OKC. Then with the Knicks last year, negative 8, negative 4. What's going on here? You know, like, this is not what you want from your starting center. This is not what you want whatsoever. He's not a rim protector. He doesn't play a lick of defense. It's very hard to look at somebody to basically say, like, hey, that's my starting center in this league. When you have other players that will be able and willing to make plays and basically do things off the bench. Now, listen, Mitchell Robinson and Noah Vonleh has been playing way better, way more solid. And my fault for the little webcam just popping up right over the top of the screen. But again, playing way more better, way more solid, and just a way more functioning team than anything. Like, come on. I'm going to show you more more stuff right here as I go down the line. So this is what Fizdale pretty much was saying off his communication with Kanter following the little breakdown, a little report from Mark Stein. So right here, Fizdale said, I would try to communicate face-to-face every step of the way, even if it was in Milwaukee after Christmas. We changed the lineup and went out from there, and I brought it up to him. After London, we got back. Mitchell was back healthy, so I knew at that moment we wasn't going to be playing a lot, and we bring him in for communicate. Pretty much basically saying, like, you know, get his communicate. He's basically been communicating ever since the London trip, ever since Milwaukee. He said right then and there he tried to communicate well with him. I'm going to continue off of what he said from the second page. And communicate with him moving towards and direction that we're going in. Even recently in shoot around before Brooklyn on Friday and Sunday. I'm going to keep communicating to him. That's a big part that we do. So I'm never going to shy away from that. I want to tell these guys they don't know what's going on. I always try to communicate the best as I can. So Fizdale has obviously been communicating recently to him. I'm now about to go down to the next side. This is what an article that Tommy Beer, now he's a Knicks beat writer, but then again, some of the Knicks beat writers are not, a little wonky. I'm not going to lie to you, but to be honest with you, I don't have a problem with Tommy Beer whatsoever. I don't know if some other people don't have a problem with Tommy Beer. Again, I don't have a problem with him. I read some of the article, I didn't read most of the article, but it's pretty much saying Enes Kanter knew what he was doing, accepting that $18.6 million option to play with New York. Now the Knicks is doing what's best for them and giving minutes to the younger players. And then he basically writes an article, which I could have brought up, but I'm not, because it's pretty much self-explanatory in itself. Kanter knew the situation he was about to get into. The first thing that they, pretty much as soon as he accepted the option, the first thing, pretty much the focus was, develop the young player group, get them ready, get them experience, get them some reps, so that way, if going down the line, they do get a superstar like Kevin Durant or whatever, or just in general, if they do not land a superstar, at least they're developing young players and keeping the core group together to basically play together after a few years with KP coming back from injury to basically build a team from the ground up, basically rebuilding and knowing that they're rebuilding. It is not a tank job. It is not anything like that in the sorts. It is a complete rebuild. It's how teams rebuild. Now, granted, the Knicks record is 10, and right now I think 39 following that Charlotte loss. Regardless or not, they are doing what is needed for them to basically move on and basically tank. I mean, not even tank, just basically move on and basically build their team right now at this point. You can't blame them. KP is out. They star players out. What else could they do, really? You can't. I mean, Kanter's not their best player. I mean, it's obvious that they don't have talent right now. Or basically, they do have talent, but they just don't have the developed talent to basically compete right now in the NBA, in this such NBA. They play hard every night. Let's not get this wrong, and I feel like Fizdale has been doing a great job developing this group, but come on. I'm now about to move on to the next one. This is Jonathan Marucci basically saying, here's a good point. Here's a good part about various media people coming out the woodworks to say that Knicks is not playing Kanter as a blatant tank move. We get to find out who's been watching the Knicks this year or last year OKC the previous 3 years or Utah the previous 4 years. And might I add, this photo is really telling of all the people that saying, hey, Kanter is a bad, you know, Kanter is a good player. Why are we not playing him? Why are we not starting him? Why are we not doing it? Even though I broke it down in some of my games that I broke down recently. I only broke down 3 games so far since I started this podcast. Because, again, this podcast is new. But regardless of not, Enes Kanter, when I usually show him on defense, has been playing terrible on defense. So, that's a true telling sign that Kanter definitely just shouldn't be playing. And I don't know why some Knicks fans or some beat writers feel as though that Kanter is a big part of this group, even though this is really just a young developing group that's going to go through his struggles right now at this point. He's not even helping them at this point. So I'm about to move on to the next slide. This is the last slide I move on to. Moving on from Kanter and basically giving my synopsis on this. Knicks are doing a lot more active defense since Kanter is out. Knicks has been doing a lot more active stuff on D and switching 1 through 5 when Vonleh is out there or Mitchell Robinson is out there. The speed helps force turnovers. Guess who can't do any of those things and no longer on the rotation? And then at the bottom it says, I think switching has been a lot smoother than noticing in the last past games, which I've been noticing too myself doing these breakdowns, especially doing the Nets breakdown and especially doing the previous breakdowns from before. Again, Kanter is going to go to the free agent market. I understand he wants to have a market out there. So that's why he's doing this. I understand. I'm not a hater of Kanter. Sometimes, you know, like when he was on OKC, I felt like he fit that bench role pretty well, bringing energy off the bench, bringing offense, rebounding. But every team knew they can attack him off the pick and roll. And that's why he didn't play over Steven Adams. Steven Adams was pretty much the epitome of a defensive center. This dude, not an epitome of a defensive center, he was a true defensive center. This dude literally plays defense, literally is a big body, and literally does what he needs to do in and out every night, rebounds, everything. It even added a little bit of a post move, post scoring to his game, and a little bit of flexibility to his offense. Granted, Kanter has not only did not improve defensively, he has been playing very worse. The only thing he's been really improving on is just offensive rebounding stats. But he doesn't even really get in position for defensive rebounds. He doesn't get in position to basically block shots. He's been trying to shoot the three recently. He's been very bad at that recently. The only thing he really has is a mid-range game, a rebounding game, an inside post game, and that's it. And I mean, he's not going to get starting minutes because obviously he just doesn't play defense. You can't play a guy that doesn't play defense while the other three guys, the other three centers slash power forwards, which is Kornet, Vonleh, Mitchell Robinson, play way better you on defense, basically offer more flexibility on offense regardless if you're inside scoring or not and can rebound at a high rate, and basically offer more versatility. Vonleh can shoot, or he's basically getting up his numbers in shooting this year, making smarter decisions with the ball. Luke Kornet is an outside threat, and he's long arms, can still rebound and still block shots. And Mitchell Robinson is an athletic specimen that is pretty much just learning the game at this point. Yes, he gets in foul trouble, but he makes defensive plays and also intimidates a lot of players that basically going into the basket. You gotta say, why is Enes Kanter not starting? Because of this reason right here. So you can't really say much about that, man. Again, in my opinion, Kanter should definitely get bought out from this team as soon as possible. Or get traded soon. I'm pretty sure there's not going to be any takers for him. But soon enough, it will be. And I cannot wait for that. Just know. Just letting you guys know that. Because, man, I'm not a big hater of Kanter, but I mean, he just doesn't fit this team, and he knew the situation that we're going to get into. So, it's all about the player development, I feel. Kanter is not a part of that, so he has to understand that, and he's going to have to basically take this on the chin. But hey, you get your $18.6 million, and hey, you go back to the market next season. That's all I'm saying. So, I'm about to move on now to the vet trading situation. This is pretty much the breakdown from the Kanter situation. Again, I want to I reference Nick's film school, reference a lot of beat writers into my stuff. So I'm now about to go to the vet trading situation. You're going to get into that right now. So first things first from the Nets trading situation. Nick's trading situation from the vet. As I bring out my webcam right here, my fault for the little disturbance. I don't know what's going on right here, my fault. But pretty much, this is going to the AD situation. I'm about to skip to that right now. Adrian Wojnarowski basically announced today that AD has been basically requested a trade from the New Orleans Pelicans and pretty much wants to get out from the New Orleans Pelicans. He thinks is the best move moving forward, which I agree on, honestly, because to be honest with you, the Pelicans haven't been the best situation or the best spot for him. They didn't basically give him any role players to work with throughout the past 7-8 years with him on the team. They didn't give him any help whatsoever. If anything, if they did give him some help, they only gave him DeMarcus Cousins, and he was only a one and done at that point. So definitely, DeMarcus Cousins was the only help. Drew Holiday, I guess, was another help as well. But again, they didn't really give him much to really work with besides from DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, and Rajon Rondo. That's pretty much it. That's all they got. And they didn't really get another star besides from DeMarcus Cousins and Drew Holiday. So I don't know as far as what the Pelicans can do. He is not going to sign his contract extension with them. So he definitely is going to be a free agent sooner or later. He's going to get traded. I feel like the Pelicans is going to hold off on him going into the offseason. Regardless or not, the Knicks have a situation basically for the first time in a long time from the Knicks film school and from also Chris B. Haynes, who basically covered, I think before he came, covered the Rockets. I believe so. I'm not sure. I know he's an ESPN writer, and I know I follow him really extensively. The Knicks have valuable trade pieces or trade chips in Kristaps Porzingis, Kevin Knox, and a potential first-round pick in 2019. Right now, they are second right now in the order or pretty much a lottery odds if they in terms of record right now. But the top three teams obviously have the same amount of odds, the same odds to basically get the first pick. So right now, pretty much the Knicks is in second place, which is still giving the, I think, the 14.9 odd chance of getting that first round pick. Is it enough and is it too risky? Now, that's the question. I'm about to now go down to many things, basically breaking down the Knicks situation as far as if they would give up Porzingis, Knox, the 2019 draft pick, the Cantor expiring contract, and also what it can help them. So, now, this is a whole spreadsheet. Again, I didn't cover all the spreadsheet, but this is mostly all the stretch here. If the Knicks somehow structured a deal to get Anthony Davis right now, since Anthony Davis is a potential place to land for the New York Knicks, as the Knicks is aggressively trying to go after him, reporting to reports from Adrian Wojnarowski, Porzingis, Kevin Knox, 2019 draft picks, and a Cantor expiring contract will be enough to help their cap situation by moving all these pieces. They can still keep Tim Hardaway Jr. and stretch lead to possibly get KD in the later run. So if they trade Kristaps, they pretty much have enough space from the cap hole because of the first round pick compensation and Kevin Knox rookie contract basically getting traded off. And not only that, Porzingis contract and also Cantor basically leaving out from there, they can still have enough money to basically stretch and do whatever they need to do to basically get AD and basically sign for a contract extension. And not only that, basically possibly sign a max KD later on in free agency if they decide to move on to the trade. And now, this is just another point bringing up. In this hypothetical, I'm assuming, this from Phillips School, by the way, this is not from me. I'm assuming the Knicks could possibly get a third team involved to add a draft pick or another asset that Pelicans like by either trading Frank or Mitch along with Knox 2019 pick in the total package. I'm not saying this is realistic, but displaying scenarios per request. So this is pretty much what they're breaking down and what possibly could happen with the Knicks and AD situation coming through. Also, I bear in mind that obviously we already know that Tim Hardaway Jr. and Courtney Lee from Mark Stein report ahead of February 7th deadline is pretty much basically made available for the February 7th deadline. My fault for repeating myself right there, but regardless or not, same thing. So there you go. And I'm going to give you another tidbit, last tidbit of information right here as I move on. We're going to go to the Fizdale pretty much saying his piece about the current situation between the Vets and pretty much how he is managing the situation right now at this point. And then I'm going to break down my opinion on this. So let's go into the media source. I have the audio clipping to this from Ian Beagle. So I'm going to bring it up to you guys right now.
Well, again, I think we're fighting for a certain style of play right now to start building for our future. I want to be able to play a very versatile style in the future, and I don't want to wait to start working at that and start building that out. So that's why Lance is a much more of a Swiss Army knife type player that can guard multiple positions and switch. Tim Hardaway is making $18 million for two more years with us. He's a part of our future from that standpoint. So, I have to start building that way and thinking about systematically putting these guys, because if I'm going to develop them, I got to develop them for what they're going to be doing. And so that's why I'm making the decisions that I'm making from that standpoint. Like I said, it's nothing against big fellas, from that area. I just think with two young bigs, really three with Luke, we got to get these guys as much experience and minutes as possible.
All right, so basically hearing off the track, I know it's probably going to be low for some of you guys. I'm going to try to edit it out and try to see what I can do. But regardless or not, if it was low, just let me know throughout the show, throughout the podcast. If you listen to my podcast on Anchor or basically follow me on YouTube, just letting you guys know. Regardless or not, this is my opinion based on solely off of this. Now I'm going to go back to my live stream, my fault for that. I know it's a little change in the scenery, but it's okay. Regardless or not, this veteran situation, basically trying to get out, and there's been reports with the Grizzlies, the Kings is pretty much over and done with, but with the Grizzlies and basically trying to find trade partners. We are going to soon see, I didn't even mention Trey Burke, my fault. We're going to soon see players get traded, and I can't wait for that, honestly. I'm not saying that I don't despise them whatsoever being on the team. I mean, I would love me some Courtney Lee basically getting thrown in the rotation here and there. Then again, it's the youth lineup, and you want Dotson to play, you want Knox to play, you want these forwards and guards to play, Frank to play, Moutier to play. I get it. I understand. And you also want Alonzo Trier to play as well. I understand. Mario Zonja too. Courtney Lee and Lance Thomas already know what's going on basically from a professional standpoint. I understand that. I think Lance Thomas is probably going to be the last person to really stay on the team. I don't think anybody will take him unless they just want to get over the cap at this point. If the Knicks just want to like relinquish him and just send him off, possibly going to a experienced team, basically he can come off as a reserve slash if a player gets injured, he'd basically be the perfect role player, basically fit-in player. Has the journeyman in this league. I feel like Lance Thomas deserves to be on a contender. Not giving disrespect, basically giving him a reserve spot, but I feel like he would be a perfect player for a contending team that really just needs a toughness on defense and somebody that can spread and basically shoot from the outside. That being mind, Courtney Lee will be a perfect candidate for like a team such as a Philadelphia 76ers team, OKC team that probably would need shooting, besides from Terrence Ferguson, because he's been shooting lights out recently, basically having scoring off the bench. They need, some teams need veteran presence right now. Some teams need that role player that can basically put up some numbers or basically have a really good shooting or pretty much can play defense. And I feel like Courtney Lee and Lance Thomas can do that. Trey Burks will be a perfect candidate for like a team that really needs a backup point guard at this situation, pretty much that needs some scoring from the backup position, from the point guard standpoint. I don't know, like a team, I don't even know, to be honest with you. Like, I don't know what situation a team could really be in that would need a backup point guard at this point. Maybe like, I know, a team like Utah. Maybe a team like the Sixers got TJ McConnell. I can't really think of much situation for Trey Burke, but I know a team out there that really in desperate need of a backup point guard would probably need his assistance right now, because this man could score buckets, don't get me wrong. Sometimes he takes here and there bad shots, but he has the ability to create shots for himself. So I feel like any team will take him right off the bat. As far as the vets go, as far as I already addressed Kanter, I don't want to talk about him. Vamos to me, he's gone. But anyway, I just want to say from this AD standpoint, I think it'll be risky. Basically trading for AD, Porzingis, Kevin Knox, and basically giving up either Frank or Mitch and a first round pick, a potential first round pick for this year, whether it be Zion, whether it be Barrett, whether it be Morant, whether it be Reddish, regardless or not, I'm not giving up anything for this season whatsoever based off the talent that I've been seeing in college. I don't think it'll be a smart move. And not only that, why would you give up? And I'm not saying AD isn't the most healthiest person, because he obviously showed seasons where he actually played or basically extended himself and played. But he isn't the most healthiest player out there, to be honest with you. Yes, he's a generational talent, and I'm not getting it wrong. He is a great talent. I would love AD on my team with Kristaps Porzingis. But the cap situation right now is not going to work in the favor. As far as our current situation right now, we can develop Kevin Knox. We can develop KP. KP is coming off an injury. Frank Ntilikina would be a perfect part to a team that really will support two superstars, whether it be KP, whether it be the first round pick that come into his own, whether it be KD coming in or AD coming in, regardless. I think Frank will be a perfect complementary role player to those two players out there and basically getting developed into a player that can basically play alongside with those players. Not only that, you got other players like Mitchell Robinson, I feel, that can come off the bench and basically be the perfect rim protector, the perfect lob player on his team. You got Noah Vonleh, who's on the books this year with 1 year, but we could possibly bring him back. Or basically, you know, like, it's all these players, Alonzo Trier, all these players could possibly serve a big role down the line if we do get a second superstar, if we do get that first round pick with Zion and Porzingis. We have a young core that can develop into a really nice team later on in the season. So I don't see why we will risk all of our assets or most of our assets to basically get Anthony Davis, as I said, by not any means a generation talent, who may not or may sign with us this season to a contract extension, depending on our situation, who may or may not stay healthy throughout the time that we trade for him, and pretty much who may know if the Knicks even have enough to basically attract another superstar or whatever. Now, we're one of the biggest markets in the NBA, and I understand that we could attract like a person like KD, could attract a person down the line later on free agency. However, that hasn't been the best case for us, pretty much from a standpoint from previous years with Carmelo, Amari Stoudemire basically attracted Carmelo Anthony, but that pairing didn't work out. It's all about pairing as well. And the best thing to do is basically keep your core group and then find out which superstars will be the best fit for that core group, whether it be from the personality standpoint and how they play, how they mesh together on the court. And I don't think right now at this point we should be giving up a lot of our talent. And not only that, our possible future talent with Zion, Barrett, Reddish, Morant, or any of the draft prospects that is coming up, because I feel like this draft is going to be a really good draft from the top 10 standpoint, especially that we're in this top 10 standpoint. I feel like we shouldn't give up our players whatsoever. And here's the reason why. Here's the realistic goals that I basically put out, or basically have as another topic, a discussion, as I bring up my webcam right here. Here is the difference basically in playing. I have so much of these, but I'm just going to break down only these four right here throughout recent games, and this is just recent and developing. Maybe the Knicks are losing despite the play of alternatives to Kanter, but look at these. Kanter decreasing their net rating by 2.3 points when he plays. Mitch increased their net playing by 2.7 when he plays. Noah Vonleh increased the net rating by 4.4 when they plays. I understand they're losing games, but these young core is basically getting much better as the games go by. It's another stat line that I wanted to show you guys, but I didn't get a chance to. Just pretty much in terms of tonight's game, but I'm not going to bring it up right now because, again, it's just too new, it's just too fresh. I didn't have much time to prepare, so my fault, guys. Regardless or not, Fizz has turned a two-way player into a rotational regular. That's Alonzo Trier. He plays a second-round pick with plus a minimum salary, plus a former two-way player over a guy that's making $18 million. That's Mitchell Robinson and Luke Kornet. And then he plays another second round guy pick over a guy making $12 million. Which I believe that is Damian Dotson over Courtney Lee. Tim Hardaway is the only exception because he has turns with the team. Otherwise, Fizz is not making decisions based off of money. He's basically making decisions off of the youth movement and how players play, how these young players play. Now I'm going to go to the next slide, and not even a slide. From the beginning of the season, this is the Hard Knocks Knicks Life podcast, by the way, that I'm referencing too. So it's not only just beat writers, not only just Knicks Film School. This is other people, Knicks fandom, that I'm basically getting into and basically showing. And also I have the last details on this as well. From the beginning, this season was supposed to be about three things: playing the young guys, getting that top five pick, and getting KP healthy. Right now, we are on schedule. I feel like we are on schedule because KP, if he does not come back this season, he at least starts out next season. He had a torn ACL. We're playing the young guys right now. We don't have much out there with vet presence, granted, but they do sometimes here and there get some minutes. But they are also coaching these young guys, whether it be Courtney Lee, Lance Thomas, Trey Burks. Mind you, Enes Kanter hasn't been the best leadership for this type of situation. But regardless of not, these three guys have basically been helping out. And it shows with the difference right now in terms of the Knicks going on. Frank is averaging 7.9 and 1.9 steals per 36 minutes during the month of January. New York is a plus 7.4 when Neal Keenan is not on the court and is a negative 15.5 when he isn't. That's the difference between 29.9 points per 100 possession. Imagine if this guy was on the court 4-7. It would be crazy. So just basically giving out, they're basically just showing how this thing is. I feel as though the impact of the Knicks movement has been great. I feel like it's no problem. It's basically showing off of what team should get all these young players. I think we should keep our young group. I think we should get our first round pick. And I think we should continue to develop until more interesting things come out. Again, still be aggressive during for trades. Still basically be aggressive for free agency, any type of sorts of that matter. But also keep in mind, this is a great youthful team that I feel like we're developing, especially with Mitch Robinson. I have optimism, being a Knicks fan that I am, and being a Knicks fan from basically watching the Knicks fandom in general, we have optimism. I don't feel as though that is like any point that we're struggling. All the outside media pretty much is saying like, hey, you know, what you call it, the Knicks are basically tanking and trying to put a bad thing on them. We're basically playing young players. Obviously, they're not the best suited players to basically play in the situation, but we need them to get their reps. We needed them to basically get to where they're going. Fizdale said it best. I wish I can bring that audio recording to the situation right now because that would be perfect. But Fizdale pretty much said it best when he said teams like the Nuggets, teams like the Sixers has been basically been teams that have basically been in and out. Pretty much could not get anything. The Sixers basically played their young group and pretty much went through three seasons of basically playing bad basketball. And then they finally waited until they got their star talent, finally developed a core group, and look at them now. They're one of the top teams in the East. Nuggets right now is the top team in the West with development of Jokic. Jokic wasn't even supposed to be a really great player at the beginning of the start of the season. Or not at the beginning of the start of the season, beginning of his career. Not many people labeled him as a really good player. But now he's starting to progress. He's starting to move on. He's an all-star at this point. Jamal Murray has been producing. Gary Harris has been a slow produce for them, but he's been playing really good. And you have a lot of all these young core group players like Hernan Gomez, Hunter Hernan Gomez, not Willie Hernan Gomez from the Charlotte Hornets. Bear in mind with that. And a lot of these players have basically been playing really well. So I don't understand why the media is portraying that the Knicks isn't a team that basically, is a team that's basically tanking, when it's really they just playing their young guys, basically making sure that they develop, making sure that they get somewhere. They are playing hard every night. And I mean, you can see the scores from the teams that they face, and they're losing games off of mental mistakes, usually in the first quarter, and then they're trying to battle back from early game and try to battle back late quarters. Or they play hard throughout the first three quarters. I mean, from the jump, play hard. Then the second half, they start to falter. And then maybe the fourth quarter, they start to lose or have a mental breakdown and basically lose the game. Has from the Heat game, Damian Dotson basically threw away that ball. And I don't know what's going on. Wayne Ellington hit two threes. That's pretty much a game. I mean, gross or not, as I said, it's mostly about the young players basically getting reps, understanding what they need to do at this point. And I don't think it's any problem whatsoever with them tanking whatsoever. I feel like this young group, Fizdale has been doing a great job with this young group. Scott Perry and Steve Mills has done a great job finding young players and basically implement in certain situations. So I don't think it's any problem right now with this group whatsoever. And that's it. So that's going to be the end for the Knicks podcast for this standpoint, as far as the front office type of news right now. I want to give a big shout out again, and I'm going to continue to do these shout outs individually to every one of these people. As I said, I gave a big shout out to the Knicks Film School, but I also want to give a big shout out to the distributor of Brandon Nunes from the NBA podcast. He is a part of my team. He is from the Pulse Podcast Network, which I do love. Indeed, I do listen to their shows a lot. The Pulse Podcast Network is the network that I choose from, that I am in right now. So if you want to catch my podcast or catch anybody else's podcast related to the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, the wrestling, UFC, anything, you name it, the Pulse Podcast have it. Even from Dungeons and Dragons. Yes, people, they even do that. Definitely a big shout out to them. Another shout out is from the Cold Front Report. Cold Front Report covers everything that's Buffalo News, Buffalo Bills, Buffalo Braves. Check them out. They are really good. You can check them out on their Facebook, or you can go on their Instagram. They are highly knowledgeable of anything Buffalo News. I also want to give a huge shout out to the Powerhouse Breakers, who are basically promoting their helmets. They sell very good memorabilia. Any jerseys, any helmets, anything that you basically want. I mean, look at these helmets. San Francisco, Jets, Patriots, Rams, Chiefs, anything, Buffalo Bills even, they have autographed signed helmets and jerseys that you guys can pick out. Definitely take in mind for those and basically go to the Powerhouse Breakers Facebook group, as they have plenty of memorabilia to basically go around. And with that, guys, I am Tavon Bess, aka Diesel Claw Journalism, from the Knicks XNO podcast. I'm going to be breaking down some games tomorrow, as I said. I'm going to be breaking down the Charlotte Hornets game and the Miami Heat game together. I'm only going to break down certain increments of that game, so please keep in mind with that. We have a game in Dallas, which is the upcoming game. That should be from a 7:30 start time from MSG. Be mindful of that. It's going to be coming this Wednesday. We're going to be facing Luka Doncic and Dallas Mavericks and Dennis Smith Jr. So thank you guys for tuning in to the Knicks X and O podcast. I am out. See you later. Peace.